Public are duly notified in accordance with state law. Open up with public comments.
There's only one public.
There's one public. I'm just sort of here because I'm interested. So
okay.
I have no comments until I, because I don't know what I'm talking about yet until I hear.
Neither do we.
Is it short-term rentals that interested you?
Yes.
I'm confused. I thought we couldn't comment at this meeting and we were just informally given feedback before you started.
Well, I was going to tell you the same thing, that the short-term rental issue, the only thing I'm going to do with them is explain that council is going to be discussing it at their meeting on the 24th. So that.
So nothing here tonight.
First reading on the 24th.
Right. First reading of their recommendations on the 24th with city. So this group dealt with it for 6 months or so, and it's now been pushed on from this group. So there's really not going to be any discussion other than me just telling them that on the 24th council will take up. All right, thank you.
Okay. Approval of minutes from February 12th meeting.
I have one comment about this.
Yeah, a couple.
Well, in the minutes, I don't have it on my screen right now, but in the minutes it indicated that we had already reviewed the comprehensive plan.
Yeah, exactly. That's what
That was the only comment I saw.
We just need to say that we are in the process of reviewing.
Yeah. I got the understanding from that that it was a decision to relay that you had reviewed it so that it was going to be dealt with next year upon receipt of census data. If I interpreted that wrong, that's how I interpreted what you all said, was that you wanted Douglas to relay that you had reviewed it and that you were going to do it next year.
We have not reviewed it, though.
Yeah, it got to, when we kind of dug into it, I think after those comments were made,
okay.
It was made clear that my transmission to them didn't all make it,
okay.
And some of them hadn't even received it until the day prior.
Okay.
So they had not reviewed it.
Okay.
So we will, I think, begin reviewing it today,
okay.
And we'll decide how to handle it at that point. So.
So with that change, I would recommend that we approve the minutes.
Got another one.
Okay.
Well, actually, I'd like to know what. There's no update on the MOU, but that a governance committee has been formed to work. What's a governance committee exactly?
It is a committee that they formed to, in my impression, work closer with the city, I think is the real kind of underlying reason for it. But it is a committee to deal with intergovernmental issues of theirs. They have a number of subcommittees, and that's one that they've just created, and it's gonna, you know, it's just been created, so we don't know exactly what it is that they'll do, but that's kind of my understanding, is it's gonna be studying how to have intergovernmental improvement in their processes.
Intergovernmental meaning between us and them?
Yeah, and they deal a lot with the state, they deal with the health department, they deal with FEMA, so I think kind of all government.
But maybe that's a misnomer. I don't think of governance committee as being that.
It sounds like an intergovernmental committee.
I could be wrong about that.
Well, a governance committee generally is a committee that kind of oversees the final approval of something. You know, they make
decisions. Like governing their policies,
right.
Or guidance.
Yeah.
She does it. She is also there.
It's called governance, but I can't explain. He's explaining the purpose.
About as well.
It's their committee. It's not something that we have any control over, right?
Correct.
No. They formed it at the end of last year.
Are they all residents?
Yeah.
It's their commissioners.
Yeah, it's made up of, I think there are five total commissioners, and it's three of them.
Oh, okay.
Three or.
Well, there's just, I think it actually, I think that all of the committees are all of the commissioners, but each person is in charge of
one. A different chairman. But it's definitely made up of their existing committee.
Okay.
Commission, right.
That's all I had. Anybody else have anything else? Can we make a motion?
I made a motion.
Oh, you did?
Second.
All in favor?
Always.
Approved.
Who seconded that?
Lewis.
Lewis.
Okay.
You want a roll call?
I think for the the sake of the record, a roll call is good. Yeah, I've got one, but.
Why don't we just go around the table and just say your name so we've got record?
Sure. Lewis Gregory, present.
Lisa Safford, present.
Bill Mills.
Ron Denton.
Rick Ferenz.
Vince DeGangi.
Thank you.
Okay, going forward, meeting with the mayor. On Thursday, 27th of February, 2 o'clock, I had a meeting with the mayor and also with Doug and Desiree. The mayor asked to meet to talk about drainage and other topics. Desiree and Doug were present. The mayor opened the meeting by commenting that we should consider going forward with a drainage master plan rather than incremental improvements. There are still several outfalls, drainage canals that are problematic. The mayor posed the question, should money be spent on other projects or mainly on a long-range drainage master plan? The community pool came up for discussion. This was prompted by a comment at a recent meeting that the PC had some capacity available, that's us, had some capacity available and the pool project could have been a good fit for us. Council has since decided to go forward and form an ad hoc citizens committee to work on a pool feasibility study. The city has advertised in the local paper and is accepting applications. I was asked if I still wanted to have the planning commission involved in the pool study along with the citizen committee. I informed the mayor that I thought the pool had taken a direction of its own. It would not be productive to engage the planning commission at this stage, but perhaps at a later date when we could add value. There was then an open discussion about the PC going forward with the review of the city's comprehensive plan. The city will do a strategic plan probably with the aid of a consulting facilitator, and it could dovetail into the comprehensive plan process. I don't know what effect that has on us yet. Doug will clue us in a little bit. The mayor closed the meeting by indicating that he will continue to be advocating the PC receiving more direction from council. Now, I'd like to add one paragraph to this. Again, going back to the pool thing, I took it upon myself to make that decision, so that's my decision, not yours. If you would rather rather go a different route or whatever, I'm with it. I'm with you on it. I felt a little nervous making that decision, but only because of representation. So in any case, if you guys would like to go forward with the pool stuff, let me know and we'll.
I mean, I guess what I see is coming in is if a decision has been made to go ahead with the pool, then, you know, what do we do, an indoor pool, or do an indoor or an outdoor pool, or, you know, with the size? I mean, stuff like that seems like more planning commission stuff than.
And funding and other
yeah.
things that might dovetail yeah. with it, but I think you're right. We don't need to just to deal with it now. Let the committee that they've set up do it.
So
and then hopefully it'll come back to us.
A ad hoc committee of citizens
yeah.
to make a recommendation to council? Or?
Yes. I imagine it's a feasibility study. I think they're going to try to come up with, you know, a rough estimate on cost, a rough estimate on size, and a rough estimate on operating expenses, and then a rough estimate on income. I'm guessing, I'm hearing this by listening to the town council meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're talking about a 12 to 18 month window to do this. But everything's very early, extremely early, very
mm-hmm.
undefined.
I don't know what role we play at this point, really.
Yeah, I couldn't figure that out either.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was my takeaway from that meeting that the law requires that before the city have a major financial expenditure on a new facility, city facility, a public facility, that you will weigh in on whether or not it's in conflict with the comprehensive plan. They shouldn't be doing kind of massive improvements if there is a conflict. So you all would have a specified role by law, but I do think that it probably would, you know, beyond what's required by law, that the council would want to get just kind of the thoughts from the planning commission on the feasibility of doing it. There just seems to be a lot of different directions and ideas about, would it be, you know, an Olympic style pool that would be solely for laps? Would it be outdoor and only seasonally open with kind of kids splashing around and playing? You know, what would it be? So I think that this ad hoc committee would try to kind of gauge interest from the whole community on what pool would satisfy the most number of people at what cost type thing. Once they've come up with a recommendation, probably would come, it at least would come here for a thumbs up or thumbs down in terms of compatibility with the comprehensive plan.
I don't want to belabor this, but do you know of any restriction for Isle Palm residents joining Wild Dunes and having access to a pool at Wild Dunes?
Not joining. I mean, just paying.
Financial.
Yeah, paying to join.
Well, I mean, is there a restriction that, only Wild Dunes residents can be members?
They have an outside the gate membership. Yeah.
So anybody that wants access to a pool
can pay.
Can join Wild Dunes, or they can join Snee Country Club or other facilities that are around us.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's probably go to a referendum eventually. Probably get voted down.
So,
if they do an indoor pool, it would have to.
Yeah. I mean, an outdoor pool wouldn't be as bad as just figuring out the operating costs, you know, how to fund it.
Staffing.
Staff, right.
You don't think so? $5 million?
No, I mean, that's roughly what we're spending on other facility improvements. I mean, there is a percentage of your kind of worth that you can spend without going to a referendum, and I think we're spending that amount on other projects without going to a referendum. Now, I think there are people who might advocate doing it just because it's a large amount, but I don't know that we would I don't think that we would have to. I don't think it triggers. I think you get into like the.
Yeah, but what happens?
Well, why did it go to referendum before? And.
Well, I mean, a lot of times when a contentious issue, the council just doesn't want to make
like the marina was.
Right.
Didn't have to go, but council wanted it to go to get input, really. So I think this would probably be the same type of thing, where it doesn't have to go, but council decides to do it anyway.
I think they go for a referendum, too, when it's optional. Like, fixing the building, was there was no option.
Yeah.
That's possible, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember when it went to, and Ron, you probably remember when it went to referendum before.
What, the marina?
A swimming pool went to referendum.
Twice, I think.
It was shot down bigger than you can even imagine. Yeah.
So this is interesting because there is internally we've had a lot of discussion about the, and this happens on a lot of things, but we can't find any record. There was a lot of dialogue back and forth, and there was a lot of, kind of like it is now, there was a lot of committees forming and discussions, but there is no record of a referendum.
Oh my goodness.
Well, it says in the comprehensive plan, so we better change that. Yeah. It specifically says that it went to a referendum.
I don't think so. I don't remember seeing that in there. I just read
through
the whole
thing. I'm pretty sure it does.
Were you here?
Yeah. I remember when
they
did.
So the water and so we've had this same discussion on the a master drainage plan.
Right.
On a master sewer plan. Now that one did go to a referendum.
I think that's what she's referring to.
And it may be
there was a reference in here to a referendum, but
maybe
it wasn't for the pool.
Yeah, the drainage plan was.
I remember it being though.
It seemed like it was vetted somehow. Or I mean, it just didn't come up that it was a great idea. I mean, whether it was just the public doing it themselves and voicing.
Well, I remember Katie did a paper on it when she was in middle school and went to council and presented it, but
it's kind of, I mean, I
feel
like
I did think it went to a referendum.
It's probably, you know, irrelevant at this point.
I didn't know if you wanted to tell them. You're
not sitting there. Or do you
move it up on the agenda?
Do you want to just move it up on the agenda?
Yeah, motion.
Just to get some notes in here.
I don't know if we're done with your report.
I guess the only thing I'm curious about is the point about the consultant.
The strategic plan?
Yeah, do we stop the comprehensive plan and wait for the strategic plan? Or?
So that is it has its own place on the agenda, F, so we'll talk about that. So we'll...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we'll get to that. There's not too much to discuss, but we will.
Okay.
We'll get into that under F.
That's all I have for that.
Okay.
So I'll make the motion that we adjust the agenda so that we can move Article G3 to into the spot after D.
Second that.
Talk about short-term rental.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, so this is just an update, and for the benefit of folks here, the Planning Commission made recommendations to City Council at the end of last year. City Council didn't immediately take those recommendations up because they were in an election time and it was going to straddle two different councils. So now that the new council is seated and in their proper place, that recommendation is now making its way through the council. So it went to the Public Safety Committee. The changes recommended by this commission went through the Public Safety Committee. Public Safety Committee endorsed the ideas. I don't think they formally recommended approval, but they indicated that they supported the changes. It will now go before City Council on the 24th of this month at 6 p.m. That would be first reading. If things went well at first reading, if they go well at first reading, it will be on their agenda at their April meeting to have a public hearing and ratification in April. Again, just to refresh everybody's memory, to hit on just the highlights of what the changes were that you all recommended. One is that an owner's representative would have to be physically on site within an hour of receiving an enforcement call. Secondly, reduce the maximum daytime occupancy. There's already a daytime occupancy set at 40, but it's a flat 40. Your recommendation was to adjust that to be twice the overnight occupancy, with the rationale for that being that the overnight occupancy is based on the size of the rental. So we would thereby be making the daytime occupancy also relative to the size of the room. Third recommendation was to formalize the revocation process. What would trigger the revocation process? Currently, that is informally done at three convictions. This commission recommended that it be changed to be five founded complaints. And I think that's it. The other ones are fairly minor, requiring that the ordinance, that the license number be posted in the rental listing. So that summarizes kind of where that is.
The parking issue, do we?
So that was deferred to the Public Safety Committee. I don't know that they feel compelled to bring it up. I mean, that was really kind of an issue of timing, and there were pros and cons on whether or not that change would be a good one or whether it would be pushing people one way or another. It's either pushing people into the public right-of-way, which has its challenges, or it's pushing people onto the rental property, which also has its challenges. So I don't know if they'll... We kind of passed on that because they're so entrenched in the parking, felt like they would be better suited to make that recommendation. A little bit kind of an adjunct to your recommendation was this issue of the short-term rental software. We are finally implementing that software. We had a hang up with our database talking to their crawlers are pulling out TMS numbers, and our database didn't have TMS numbers, so we've gotten through that, and they are generating the first pass of enforcement letters. And there are, at this time, their crawler has identified just over 200 properties that it believes are not licensed. Now, we have spot checked. We haven't gotten the list yet to fully vet those 200. A lot of those are in condominiums that we believe are licensed. So we don't know what, they've also been crawling for over a year, so some of them are older. Those folks have already called us and it's been sold, and it's, so we're not confident that all 200, you know, we think that probably the number is going to be between 100 and 200 that get enforced, you know, that need to get a license and do get a license.
What will you do with them? What, if you find somebody that wasn't licensed that should have been, what will happen?
They'll be forced to get a license.
That's it. It's prospective, nothing retroactive. Anything they've collected in the past is their free money.
I think so. And that's historically how we've handled it.
And the Department of Revenue has no say in this?
Well, they have,
they collect the monies from like Airbnb.
It's a separate accounting issue that they deal with. Hmm. And
so
I
the Department of Revenue could go back and yes. force those people to file the tax returns that they have not been filing.
That's correct.
Do they get any notification from the city?
We do share databases. We always have a hard time making, again, kind of like this exercise in the TMS numbers.
I guess my thinking, Douglas, is if there's no penalty for trying to get away with it, and if you get caught, then it's all prospective. So catch me if you can, kind of an attitude, then why would anybody want to comply until you catch them?
I get that. I mean, I will tell you that running the, so we have, and we looked at the numbers. We have 1,300 licensed rentals. We think that we have somewhere above 90% compliance rate. So, you know, we have this. We think it's roughly 8% that are, and we don't know what they're doing. I mean, we don't know if they're kind of the fly-by-night, but when you start getting into taking people to court, fining people, you know, that's all very labor-intensive. We don't have the staffing to do audits, to do, you know, we are...
I hear you, but you can offer them amnesty and say, look, if you come forward, we know you're out there, you come forward, and here's what the deal is. You come back 3 years and you pay us what you owed us. If you don't, then we're going to turn it over to the Department of Revenue, and it's your issue will be with them now.
And well, we're turning it over to the Department of Revenue. We're turning over that they have a license.
There's got to be a way to bring these people into the system and require them to pay some of the money they've owed you.
I get your point that it's. I think there is the question of. When does the effort exceed the return? And if you got above 90% compliance rate, you know, does it warrant hiring additional staff, full-time staffing to get into? Because anything that you threaten, I mean, you have to be prepared to follow through. And
what about just a flat rate fine?
Is the software company involved in this, or this is all your staff people that are doing this enforcement?
Oh yeah, they don't do any enforcement. I mean,
they just let you know.
And quite frankly, the creation of by the amount of work, they basically said these are the TMS numbers that our crawler has identified. That's pretty much what they've done.
But so then you all have of to the, verify it, right?
Yeah, all of that other legwork has fallen to the staff.
Sorry about that.
Green Day.
I was going to say, Green Day.
So, it's, you know, it's, and we're going to be faced with with the next question of does it, we got this software for, I think it was $13,000 for this year. They've already told us it will be, you know, more like $50,000 the coming years.
Wow.
Is it?
We'll see. We'll yeah. see if the.
Yeah. Is it worth it even?
I wouldn't think that would be worth it.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, it could be, it probably will be close. I mean, I think.
I mean, I agree with Bill's point. Don't get me wrong. I do agree with the point. But because there's there's really no incentive for anybody to get a license mm-hmm. right now. They get caught, they just get slapped on the wrist and sent on their way and said, get one. So I would agree with that part. But again, the enforcement.
Yeah, I mean, do you feel strongly enough about it to hire additional staff and pay
not
additional
unless
staff?
The revenue that would be,
what
would come as a result of
the
it?
Summer, and that's our job.
To take things to court and audit people?
Oh, I don't know specifically, but their job is.
That's a high
is.
Level. I mean, that's at the county, that's, it's a very high level
I think
job.
If you give these people the option of some type of an amnesty program, or we're gonna pursue you, most of them are gonna take the amnesty.
But what about those?
What does amnesty mean then?
Amnesty means you get off the hook if you do what we tell you.
Which is what?
Go back 3 years and pay the amount you should.
I couldn't volunteer for that.
Well, the hell they're not.
That's not amnesty, though. You're not forgiving.
That's exactly what amnesty is.
You're not forgiving them for anything, right?
Yes, you are. You're saying if you, well, you could go back forever. They've committed fraud. You can go back forever. If they've been running this property for the last 20 years, they owe you all the tax money and the penalties for that. That's their incentive to come forward.
Plus the licensing fees.
Yeah. There's a lot of money involved in this. You need to decide how you're going to run your department, but I just think these people are getting let off the hook pretty easily.
Well, it's going forward. These are the rules, and it's going to be sort of the Hawthorne effect. If people are going to know the city's looking, and they're more right. apt to comply, right?
I think the data is bearing out that there is a higher compliance rate than. You're always going to have those that are trying to squeeze things in, and if it's, there's a certain diminishing point of return where it just doesn't warrant.
Well, and if they're renting to private parties off the books, not Airbnb or VRBO or rentals, you wouldn't know.
Yeah, you
know. There's no way to know.
That's why I was sitting here thinking you'd almost have to request an audit of their taxes to see if they filed anything for the rental income that they captured during that time.
It's like going after, home exchanges.
Yeah.
Which there's no money changing hands, and it's like, it's a rental. It's essentially turning a rental.
These, so it's going to be 200 letters. Of those 200, probably 100 are going to be non-compliant. Of those 100, all 100 of them are going to have a long song and dance about why they don't have it. It was, I didn't rent it up until this date, and then, it was just my brother's, and nothing is.
I would ask them to bring a copy of their federal income tax return to you till you can see whether or not they rented it or not. Not that they're going to fib on their federal return, but they're a lot less likely to do that.
Yeah, but you then have somebody reviewing 100 tax returns.
You're a CPA.
I mean, 100 bucks. What is the license fee? Like $300?
Yeah.
It varies.
So multiply it by, you got $45,000. If 150 people should have been getting a license that aren't, that's $45,000. That pays for a pretty good staff person, at least temporarily, to do that stuff.
I think you could get it into or something. But how, okay, so if I'm renting out my house for a couple of weeks, and let's just say I go.
You have a friend that does that?
No, let's just say I go. I really don't. I have
a friend that's
a
friend.
And I never will. But I mean, if I were to rent out my house, and let's just say I did it for a month because I decided I was going to go to Europe for a month, and I decided to do sort of, let somebody come stay there. I didn't pull the license and all of that. Why do you think that I would report that on my?
Why do you think
I know that, but you're supposed to get a license too.
You're supposed to do all of this. Yeah.
Why do you think I wouldn't just pocket that money and use it for my European vacation?
At least I don't have an answer to all your questions, but that is the only thing that you could pick up from would be their federal tax return to try to get some idea of what they've been collecting, because they're less likely to fib on that.
I would suspect some of these people that are flying under the radar require cash. They require you to walk in with a cashier's check or a whatever.
If they're Airbnb or
not
those,
Airbnb,
not
they got a 1099.
Yeah, not Airbnb. But
can
I mean,
we
I'm
move on?
About,
do we need to talk about that? We've already hashed this out. This is just an update, right?
Yes.
We're not debating anything now, are we?
Right.
May I interrupt for a second? She wants to do. She's going to go outside and do a live shot about whatever the short-term rental stuff. anyhow, I said, "There, this is it." But anyways, she wants to interview somebody. I don't know if any of you want. She wants to come back in 8 minutes, and then take someone out. And
I told her she's not going to interrupt our meeting.
No, this isn't a meeting.
Not right now.
Yes.
So I'm just relaying information. That's all.
That's fine.
3:24 at 6:00. That's where she really should be.
Right. Okay.
3:24.
She goes back.
March 24th
at 6:00.
Tell her they
that's
got
where
her story wrong.
Yeah. Now when she comes back, I'll tell her she's doing the live piece of it now.
We're not interested in.
Should have come what? 5-6 months ago.
Yeah. Again, why don't we interrupt our meeting?
It was a good conversation.
Okay, let's move on.
Control, Chairman.
Move on.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll go back to our regular order.
Yeah.
Right.
Which took us to E, I think.
Right. Review of comprehensive plan. All right, so. Can't remember who everybody that was here last month, but to recap where we are. We are 5 years. We are required by state law to review the comprehensive plan every 5 years. But all you have to do is review it. If everything looks okay, you are fine to say everything looks okay. We've reviewed it. It looks good.
Didn't we review this a year
5 years ago?
I haven't been on the committee for 5 years. I know we reviewed it.
He came at the tail end of when we were reviewing it, I think.
It was May 15th, 2015.
That wasn't, I mean, I remember the conversation because we did review comprehensive plan for something.
It could have been compliance with some, I mean, it could have been
the marina.
The marina or the beach
may
management
have been.
Act or something?
So we are required to review it every 5 years. Not required necessarily to do anything other than to review it. You're required to update it every 10 years. We have historically, at every review period, we have historically chosen at that point to update it. And so we are at that juncture now where we need to decide if we're going to just review it and say it looks okay, or if we're going to start into a full-fledged update, which we don't have to do, but we have historically done that at this point. The what we've kind of talked about is that a lot of the figures in the comprehensive plan are driven by the census. We do have a new census due out sometime in the coming summer. We think we're going to get a census update. We've also done a lot of work as a commission on, you know, things I would say related to drainage, things related to the water, the septic versus sewer question. There has been a lot of work, but, you know, generally the idea of improving our resilience to things like sea level rise, that's a hot topic that almost every community is now really getting into. Our comprehensive plan is pretty weak on that. So I think, in my personal opinion, there are fairly obvious things that we would update. But I think that we would be, again, this is just kind of my opinion, I think that the prudent thing to do would be to not update at this point and then get census data 6 months from now and then do an additional update 6 months later. So what we had talked about was reviewing it now, saying our review is complete. We do intend to update it, but we expect that update would be coming forth in approximately a year, say.
So the update and the review have to be simultaneous, or can, I mean?
No.
So we could choose to do that 6 months or a year from
now.
I'm not sure I understand exactly what a review is. Would we make some changes, or you're saying we would not make changes?
Correct. If you make changes, then updating it. And that's always happened. I mean, there's always something, when you kind of read it, there's always stuff that's changed over 5 years.
Exactly.
So reviews have just every time it's turned into an update.
Just for data point, What's the situation with the strategic plan? What's the thinking?
All right, so we'll just talk about this. That's the next thing on our agenda. So they're
really one.
They're basically kind of plugged together. So City Council, for the better part of a year, you know, they've latched on to this idea of a strategic plan. And I, when I see the term come up, it's always about spending money. And there's this kind of fear that we are haphazardly spending money. You know, we work on drainage for a bit, and then we go to the fire station, and then, you know, now we're going to kind of jump over to a marina, and then we'll jump to a pool. And it's just kind of the scattershot of spending. And that one, and when a council changes, you know, it's a totally new set of priorities, and then the process starts all over again. So there has been a lot of talk at council about them having a longer range strategic plan, basically. And my understanding of that is it would be, to some degree, the blueprint of where they should be focusing their budgets in coming years. So they have a current proposal, and I gave, that's what's in your packet is not the proposal, but it's just a presentation that the Riley Institute mm-hmm. has given to City Council, and they said that, and the Riley Institute is a branch of the College of Charleston, and they have done this. They have done this for other communities, and they, for a fee, would help City Council develop this strategic plan. If you look at the nuts and bolts of what the strategic plan is, a lot of it is exactly what's in the comprehensive plan. Mm-hmm. It's identifying, you know, these are your issues, and it has, just like our comprehensive plan, it has strategies, it then has implementation schedules and goals. And so what we would strive for would be for the comprehensive plan to basically mirror, or the strategic plan to basically mirror the comprehensive plan, and the funding begin to get allocated for the strategic plan, which is then also mirroring what's in the comprehensive plan. So they're all kind of working together to implement the goals and the strategies in the comprehensive plan. So council has not pulled the trigger on having this work done yet, but they are in the midst of their budgeting process. They meet tomorrow night. I think the staff expects that it will be in their budget to fund this strategic plan. And then if the expectation would be, if they're working on the strategic plan, the Planning Commission would be working in tandem and probably working on the strategic plan as well as on the comprehensive plan to ensure that they're in sync with one another. So that's just... it hasn't happened yet, but I suspect that with all of the focus, you know, not a meeting goes by that involves money where somebody on council mentions that we don't have a long-range strategic plan. We don't know where, you know, we kind of don't know which direction we're going. So they've certainly have been focusing on it, so I expect that it will happen. And I would say that if they're doing that, that is another reason to mm-hmm. delay the update, to basically do it at the same time as the strategic plan is being developed, so the two can be dovetailed into one another.
So you're making a recommendation that we wait to look at this all together as far as the committee goes.
Yeah, one thing, I always like to get the jump on things. And I think it wouldn't hurt for us to start looking at the plan now, and noting, you know, highlighting or whatever you want to call it, noting the things that we know for sure really need to be fixed. Because I remember some stuff in there that was pretty bad.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff in there that's just not ordered very well.
And I wouldn't want to show it to a consultant.
It'd be worth cleaning it up.
There's a lot of language in here that just needs to be cleaned mm-hmm. up, but just some of it just doesn't. Well, you don't even know what they're saying sometimes.
The other thing is resiliency is a big deal, and it's not in here.
I did.
The word isn't even here once, I think.
Well, it's a new buzzword.
I know.
You look at the papers, it wasn't anywhere in the papers.
No.
I know.
5 years.
That
but now it's five times
all over. It's on PRI. And
right.
Yeah. But,
I'm the grammar police.
I lost my train of thought.
Oh, very well in some places.
I think one of the things that I didn't like about the plan that I saw from another island.
another island.
Sorry.
That's chapter 10. They have 10 chapters in their strategic plan, right? Or no, in the comprehensive plan. And the last chapter is resiliency. And in my mind, that's like treating the virus, you know,
think
put
it
aside.
Be number one?
Well, I think it should be everywhere.
Right. It should be embedded around.
It should be. The word should be, you know, if you did a search on the word, should get 100 hits. Because it's going to be something we're not going to be able to avoid. I mean, it's going to...
So that's an interesting... This plan, specifically, had one iteration of it, had the same subjects peppered throughout. You know, just an example. It had septic tanks, and septics were hit on in the natural resources. Then it was hit on in the housing. Then it was hit on in the, you know, in the infrastructure. And one of the planning commissions, that drove them nuts. They said, you know, if it's going to have discussion about septic tanks, we don't want the people to have to read 75 pages to kind of boil down. So let's take all of the septic tank language and put it right here in its bullet. So. And the plan was that way on a lot of things, and there was a huge effort taken to consolidate it all into kind of one package and leave it there. So not to say that there's a right or wrong way to do it, but it is interesting that a lot of work was done to undo the kind of peppering throughout.
So is it like is it a narrative or an outline?
That's exactly, you know, that's what I was just thinking. It's part of the introduction as that narrative that it's all embedded in there, and then you can go dig into the deeper.
Well, and I don't like the fact that they give you a list, but then the bullet points below we don't follow the list above it. That drives me crazy.
Who drafted this? Was it professional did this?
We've always done them ourselves.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It has. And
I
it's,
think we have to take some credit for this.
I don't know
it has always been done.
Dick Watson,
and it's been
the attorney who
it has evolved. I mean, every 5 years, it basically gets turned on its head and reworded and redone by that new commission. So it's, you know, it's had hundreds of hands.
And it reads that way in a lot of places. You can tell there's a lot of different voices throughout this thing, and I think what I guess
literally voice, like you're saying, third person.
Yes, well, you can tell that there are sentences here and there that don't really fit with what was before it. You can tell that somebody added, you know,
Leola Hamburg.
Yes, I remember. She was big on this.
She was the wordsmith that took it all and said, you know, and did this kind of overhaul. She's now no longer with us, so I can say it. But she's. But I kind of saw. I was like, "Is that that's an improvement?" Again, and then you get. You know, it's an interesting.
It's poorly worded in certain sections.
It's an interesting exercise,
but it's
of being
poorly
polite
worded in certain sections.
Yeah. Yeah.
To other folk, when you don't have one person, you know, if you're like, "Oh, we'll leave that like that. Looks good."
Conversely, though, the BCD, which is offered when I've done my continuing ed with them, they spent half their time trying to sell me on, we should use their services, they'll write it for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what their product looks like. And that is kind of, not that I'd want to pay somebody else to do our work, but I wonder, they have a rhythm and a pattern and a model that perhaps we could learn from. I don't know who's they're doing, if they do Sullivan's Islands or some other community.
I
just
think most cities do hire a third party.
Yeah.
You know, I am unaware of any other community that does it themselves.
Yeah. Does the city attorney review it? And
I think there's kind of a cursory review of, you know, the legal, any legal questions. You know, it has to have an ordinance with it, so it's an attachment to an ordinance that the So I think so.
It's laid out and organized, and so it flows. And
a lot of that is dictated, you know, all of the elements are dictated by state law.
Right.
So, you know, part of that layout, and that's probably why the Sullivan's Island one is laid out like it is, because it's the elements themselves are required by state law, and then they don't require you to say number one is this, number two is that. So they could have, but they probably just said we're going to do the required ones first in that order, and then put this on.
So what do we want to do as a group? I mean,
I'm still not clear exactly what a review amounts to, other than just reading it and saying, yeah, it looks good, and we'll update it next month, next year.
We'll table it until the census data comes in, right?
I think that would be it. I think you would say, we have reviewed it, we do plan, we're meeting the timeline of, and you know, we say there's a timeline, but I've never heard of anybody checking the dates to be sure that legally it was reviewed within, you know, prior to May 15th when it was last updated.
So by reviewing it all, we're simply saying is that we have read this, or at least cursory read this to know that we want to update it or make some additional changes.
Why don't we do this? We all go home, read it carefully, come back at our next meeting and say we've reviewed it at home. And these are some of the comments, some of the things that I found that were kind of strange or weird, or you know, you develop a list of those.
Yeah, I think you were kind of
implemented until a year from now.
Yeah. I think you were saying earlier you would like to kind of start doing the work immediately.
Yep.
And I think the first step there would be to identify, you know, we've talked about five or six things that we think it needs added to it.
Mm-hmm.
And we can develop that list of, okay, these are the, we've reviewed it, these are the list of things that we want to add to it.
Or take away,
and we'll begin that process. And during the process, we will involve the strategic plan, if City Council does opt to do that, which I think they will, and we will incorporate the census data when it becomes available in the summer.
Let's do that. That sounds like a good plan.
And give us time to glean and talk about this, the new chapter.
Can I ask you a couple questions before we move off of this?
Okay.
Are there any new law requirements? I mean, this reference says as required by the 2007 South Carolina Priority Investment Act, there was a provision put in there. Are there new laws that will require us to include them within the comprehensive plan, or do you know?
I do not believe there was... There were a handful done at once, priority investment and another one. I'm not aware of any since then, but we certainly should verify that there's not.
I couldn't find the answer to this, but what's the status of this Bigger Waters Act? I mean, that originally that was going to cause a huge increase in flood premiums, flood insurance premiums. Well, I couldn't. It looked to me as though that was softened at some point.
It was, and that also is a good question, because the implementation of it was postponed for a fairly long time.
For like five years,
but that's, I think, gone. That was like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it ultimately went away, but there has not been. I mean, it was so shaky, you know, so many changes in it that it really grabbed everybody's attention, and it's kind of disappeared. But
this is not really a question, it's kind of an observation. It said the 2010 census indicated that there was a 34% increase in the number of people over age 65.
Yeah, I have it underlined too.
I mean, if that happened again,
we're in trouble.
Okay, well, let's get out of the bushes.
I thought we were supposed to read this and come to this meeting with that.
Yeah, that was kind of the direction last month.
I mean, I've got lots of notes.
But if that hadn't been done, I guess we're going to postpone it again.
Well, I mean, can we say we reviewed it and we think we feel there are changes that need to be made, but it should be contingent on the strategic plan, the census data, in order to really make a solid recommendation?
Yeah, well, there's recommendations that we can make on changes that today, and then there'll be more recommendations for changes based on census data. Once that comes out, and we readjust our thinking.
So that, but would that change our recommendations now?
It could.
So that's why do it if it's gonna, you're gonna have to redo it.
But there's some glaring things that we can do right now. That's,
okay.
I mean, I think that's this type of, because this is going to all take a little bit of research and digging.
But you're saying if we make those changes, those glaring things that need to be changed, that's an update.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could, and we talked about it, we could update it now.
And update it again.
And then update it again. That's an option if we wanted to.
Does council have to approve that? Then when
yes.
we proposed updates, they'd have to approve that.
Correct.
Or we
goes to a public hearing. It
right. They approve the updates. They don't approve the process.
Correct. They approve the update. You know, comprehensive plan is pretty much in the Planning Commission's wheelhouse entirely. The development of it, the work on it, but they do ultimately approve it.
Right.
So, you know, it could be, it's never really happened, but there could be a bouncing back and forth of, hey, you know, it doesn't include this, or we want it to have that, or so that could happen. It historically has not, but it could.
Who's responsible for the comprehensive beach management plan? Is that ours, or is that somebody else's?
It's ours.
Well, ours being the city or the Planning Commission?
The Planning Commission.
No.
We've never done that.
Yeah, that rests with City Council.
Did that get updated? Because it's supposed to be updated every 10 years, and this is 2008.
It did. Yeah, there was not.
Wouldn't we want to look at that as a part of this? I have never seen it.
It's something to read.
It's actually a very interesting. It didn't get changed a lot. It got updated. It got. And that's that plan, just for kind of everybody's benefit, that is submitted to, well, it explains it there. Doesn't it?
Not very much. It just references it.
It basically gets us in the good graces with the state, which then enables us to get money for things like renourishment.
Right.
It makes it clear to everybody that the state is concerned about open access to public beaches, and that is a study that basically shows proof that yes, this beach is accessible, it's public.
Who physically does that in the city?
Who does
in
the plan?
In Isle Palms, who's responsible for updating that plan?
We hire a consultant for that. Chris Jones is the one who did it, but you know, it kind of like most of these plans, he needs to pull things and from every part of the city. So the whole staff works on it, but he ultimately puts it together.
I just had a couple more questions. Our CSR rating has never changed, right? Still
CRS.
15%?
Yes.
Yes.
And this made reference to improving our rating.
I saw that. That's a bullet point. That's something we're supposed to be doing. How can that happen?
Well, we went through it. I don't know if you'll remember.
We talked about it.
We did have change.
But we didn't get any increase in the rating, any change in the rating.
That's correct. And we did, and I think I remember you kind of pulling out the savings that it, we basically weighed the pain of implementing these additional flood requirements. We analyzed the pain versus the gain that we would get in savings, and I think the committee said that it just wasn't worth the additional 5%.
Yes.
So that's a good one that we should talk about and either kind of say, yeah, that's, we've done that analysis and it's, we don't agree with it anymore, and we should take it out.
Didn't we find out that, sir? Maybe I'm way off track here. But didn't we find out that insurance companies wouldn't honor it? Or?
No, they honor it.
I think what we decided as a group is, or with much discussion, was that the savings that would have been realized for trying to implement much more stringent building codes, mm-hmm. we didn't feel, and I do believe, Bill, that you were kind of involved in that, helping us analyze that, we didn't feel it was merited. Because it would have cost us significantly more or some, not us, like, but someone significantly more to build a house under the changes that would be required.
And it was really the trigger. So we're kind of at a point with our flood regulations that to get additional credit, we had to do what I would consider fairly drastic things, like, you know, one of them was require houses in A flood zones to meet V zone standards, which is wide open underneath. If you did that, that in and of itself basically gets you enough credit to get 5% decrease. And that's all well and good, but what we found out is that it made like 90% of the houses on the island non-conforming and then bound them by the 50% rule. So it kind of had this trickle-down effect that it would have made a lot of houses non-conforming and have to deal with this 50% rule, which can be a bear to people trying to rebuild after an event.
So what did the flood elevation change?
Still hasn't happened.
When is that supposed to happen?
And they won't tell us. They will not.
Well, I wondered about that too, because that's a part of this, you know, talks a lot about, I mean, it gives her specific information.
We did a lot. We have these new flood maps coming out. That's we did a lot of work on the elevations of Noel Scott's rusty nail and if it was high enough. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, we've had a lot of discussion about drainage, and there is a section in here talking about drainage improvements that were recommended back in 1995.
Yeah, they need to be updated.
And that drainage improvement project was estimated to cost $7 million. Mm-hmm. On November the 7th of 1995, the referendum to fund this project was soundly defeated by a margin of 9-1.
So if we could turn back time.
When we talk about drainage, I mean, somehow or another, you got to get people's opinions changed as to whether or not they're willing to fund that. You know?
Well, at that point in time, probably drainage wasn't that big a deal.
It wasn't that big of a deal back then.
Right.
But we there's had a some whole bunch of projects, 53rd, 23rd, Sparrow and Waterway, 41st, 3rd Avenue, 56th Avenue, that were supposed to be a part of that.
But I think some of those we've actually
a lot of that
done
has been
fixed.
A lot of that.
So they're not even issues anymore.
Yeah.
And
but that's the kind of update that.
But exactly. I mean, I have that
some
section.
Some glaring things in here that
set off to deal with.
I'm wondering if it's a way to do it is to kind of the parking lot. It is for us to actually come up with these suggestions and keep a running tab of what page, what bullet, what needs to be changed. And then just set that aside without touching the document itself. And when we finally get census numbers and the strategic plan numbers,
bring
it all together.
That's what I was saying.
Exactly. This will be my last one, and it's my favorite. The marina is expected to be financially self-sustaining.
You were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that.
You mean it isn't?
That will close it.
That we can close it down. I have that circled as well, because that paragraph perhaps is.
What year
updated.
Did it profile?
Yeah.
Did it give a year?
It does.
We left it in there in 2015.
Let's see.
It didn't give a date.
No,
so
when
it's going to
be self-sustaining.
Right.
I think
well, we're still working towards
it. When the debt was repaid.
Well, it's saying that it should have been prior to the debt service being paid off, though. So prior to 2019, it was supposed to be.
So what does self-sustaining mean?
Well, it
no
says, I'll read you the paragraph if you'd like. It says, in the short to midterm, the marina is expected to provide the desired level of marine services. Wait a minute, let's see.
Short to midterm. We're in the midterm now. We're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm middle aged.
Well, it says that there will be some capital improvements and some major maintenance costs will surface in future years.
Oh, and it's supposed to be.
But it says that these expected costs will be mitigated to a significant extent as the balance owed on the purchase bond decreases and is satisfied in 2019. So by 2019, they were expecting this thing to be self-sustaining, and we all know that's
not
true.
I think the date was always 2020, isn't it, Bill?
Yes.
I wonder why we put 2019.
Well, I just read from what it.
Well, the debt's paid off last year, right? In 19.
I thought it was coming up in 2020.
Oh, I thought it was paid off now.
Oh, is it?
Oh, here's the sentence he was talking about. Once the bonds were satisfied in 2019 and 2016, respectively, the marina is expected to be financially self-sustaining.
Well, it is, except it's not going to be able
except
to
for the money
fund the improvements that are needed.
Right.
So you would consider that self-sustaining?
Not now.
I would say it is covering its debt service, but I wouldn't say that is self-sustaining. If it can't handle the improvements that need to be made to it, then it's not really self-sustaining.
Okay, so do we have an agreement on the process going forward?
Yes.
May I make an offer for you? Mm-hmm. If you'd like, if everybody wants to list theirs and email it to me, I could pull together a comprehensive list for
you. That would be cool.
Prior to your next meeting. And, you know, because like three of you could say the same thing, and I can put, you know, the number three indicating three people indicated interest in that, you know, or indicated that needed to be changed, if you like, and just make a list. And then you've got a list to work from the next meeting.
How specific do you want us to get, though? Because, I mean, like, I've really gone through, and, I mean, there's a lot of work changes I've made.
Your own style, whatever you're comfortable with.
Okay.
Everybody have Microsoft Word?
What are you going to do with this?
You're an app.
What are you going to do with that list?
But I can convert it to Word.
We're going to hold on to that list, and then when we get the census information and we get whatever else we need, we can then bring this all together and make the new plan.
It'll take us a while to get through what's here.
Let's talk about it. So your question was about the process. What I think I'm hearing the process will be is next month we will say we've reviewed it. We have reviewed it. Check.
Check.
We are initiating an update.
Yep.
Starting now. We've already had, you know, these edits given in addition to kind of editorial comments and cleanup. We're going to add, you know, whatever the big bullet items are. Resilience, drainage, septic versus sewer discussion. Seems like there's some more, but we're going to add those, census, updated census data, and then compliance or compatibility with the strategic plan should the city council initiate that process. So that's kind of what I would envision happening next month, and then we would start in earnest working on that list of updates, and we'll include the strategic plan. We'll get the census data in the meantime, and we'll
get the budget data.
Right.
Yeah, we need. There's a lot of budget information on here.
Right, because by then they should have something pretty finalized, right?
What budget data?
Well, they're sitting down doing next year's budget right now.
Yeah.
So we will have that'll be finished when?
May.
Okay.
But what would be, are you talking about the money for the strategic plan being in there?
No. I'm talking about the actual budget. For example,
do we get into
are they
budget of.
Anything?
No, but why should we say something in there that's in contradiction to the budget plan? Let's talk about the three outfalls. Let's just say they propose to fund only one.
Oh. Yeah.
So are you suggesting that we get a lot more specific on the recommendations as to...
Well, I think we get more specific as more data comes in, as we get more information.
Because this plan, to me, is weird in some ways. Some parts are very specific, and some are very, very vague. So
that too, has been... And we have yo-yoed, boomeranged. Some of them have gone down to, like, $2.6 million will be spent on, you know, X project, and then of course you look at that 5 years later, and
it never got done.
Well, or it's just completely too much detail for the period because it's meant to be a 10-year plan.
Right.
So there have been plans that have gotten very detailed and down into the budget. Not I don't know that we've ever gotten into the budget, but down into like specific projects, like you were reading off drainage projects that should get done, and then it would go back out to a higher level. Let's delete all the detail and just leave it high level so it would be things that are still relevant 5-10 years from now, where a drainage project on 52nd.
I mean, shouldn't it be high level?
It should be. I mean, it's too specific in some places.
If the legislature intended it to be updated every 10 years, that's a high level claim.
But can we get, and I think we already talked about this, but can we get a copy of the beach management plan
yes,
that we've done?
Yes, I've got that.
So that we, because that does definitely
it's an intro, that's a very
work
interesting,
with us.
It always, you know, gets into erosional ends of the island and parking here and where the counts, how much is required.
And I think the other thing we definitely need an understanding of is the legal implications. Is there anything else legal?
I would think the attorney would review the plan before we proposed it.
Well, and your question about has anything changed?
There's water.
Since
I tried to find it, too. I couldn't find anything.
Well, the last legal requirement was the Priority Investment Act. And have there been any since? So I'll get clear. I haven't heard of any. I don't think there are, but let's double check that. Any other comments while we have that level of kind of detail from your...
Well,
it sounds like your comments are more consistency versus relevance, wordsmithing.
Yes, there's a lot of wordsmithing that needs to change, but
are
I think
you
it
be
is...
The,
yeah, we don't need to do the wordsmithing, do we?
Yes, we do. This is our product.
If somebody... chooses
can we
to
hire
do it.
An English major intern?
Well, I mean, you know, you can get real specific. Like, I just thought this was a stupid thing to say,
we're
but that doesn't
for
mean it's
to
wrong.
Raise their hand.
You know,
I think she has. She hadn't physically done it, but I'm hearing it.
Yeah, you know,
I
it says
saw
the
it.
Alpine
I saw it. I saw it move.
It's a wonderful place to live in good condition. I mean, that's the only word we can find for that.
What's in good condition?
I mean, I just think.
Yeah, but I just don't want to spend our time wordsmithing and stuff like that.
I think we're supposed to
here.
I would propose that we get the meat on the bones as a group, and then we have some volunteer wordsmiths.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll be happy to help with the wordsmithing
the
because the lack of commas and stuff
word.
In this document drives me crazy.
Room,
so we had that. Somebody, and I think that was Linda, went through and took out every comma.
Who did that?
Every what?
It was either Linda, because she had a comma hang-up of we overuse them, or it was Leola. But somebody went through
well,
there and took out
there's
every
places
comma.
In here that need so many commas. I mean, there's stuff. I can't even read the sentence because it's just not right.
They took out every comma.
I see that. But anyway, that's not really what I was.
Places to add
maybe for the replacement.
Wax
the guy
commas
in
there.
Well, that's easy. Now, I think the only other thing I had a question about was, is there any monitoring data from water quality
so
that we
is,
need updates on that we because it also references a good and that filters all the way through this document so yeah. we
so
need to
that
know
that is in the so you all did when you sent over recommendation mm-hmm. on sewering versus septic we got a lot of data from
from
DNR on the water quality back there. And so we have that up until that date, which is now probably
3 years old.
Yeah, 3 or so years old. So, I mean, it might be good to pull that back out. And I still look back at that recommendation on to just get the bullet points back out. You know, people will ask, well, how many and what does it cost? So I still am pulling that, and it's just your recommendation. It's a synopsis, but it's. It is very useful, and I would think that we could put a lot of that information into this plan if we wanted to, including we have that information that we could update. We also participated in a sewering master plan with the Water and Sewer Commission, which has all happened since this plan.
Right.
So
we've got reams of data back, right?
Yeah,
well, I mean, it references a lot.
Well, we have a whole plan. We do have
information about, I mean, it gets all the way down to the, you know, what's causing or not causing our water problems. So, I mean, I feel like that's relevant information to update that section.
I would agree.
The more we can
you know, it talks about shellfish beds closing.
Data,
I'm sorry, I didn't
So the more data we can pack into it, the better.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't like the old data in there.
No, but relevant.
But you know as soon as you put it in.
It's outdated.
It's outdated.
But 2 years of reference.
I know, but you got to have it updated
somewhat
frequently or it doesn't, I mean, 1995 data for that is not relevant at all.
So I'm trying to think about traffic info too.
Well, that's another one. I wondered about the traffic counts. You know, we're doing
ATM did a traffic study mm-hmm. when they were advising us on parking.
That's now.
That's aging.
Yeah. Well, when you say it's aging, yeah. I don't know that it's out of date.
I do think that I recall. So, our old police chief was very into technology and data and traffic counts and embedding solar powered traffic mm-hmm. counters in mm-hmm. the. I think that's been seen as not as useful information as the old chief saw. So I think that our traffic counts are.
Is it something
not
that
available like they used to be?
Oh, we had.
That we could get DOT to put, you know, they used to periodically put those little.
Yeah, that
counters,
it was too.
The ones you run over.
It was always too dependent on the, because they would put them out there for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But every 2 weeks, you know, you could always. It was either a slow week and it was skewed that way, or it was a busy week and it was skewed that way, or it was a busy week but you got rain and.
But we also.
You really had to have consistent, like annual traffic yeah. counts to get a good.
But with that last one that they did study for several weeks. We got information about peak travel times.
And well, where they were going. Were they going to Wild Dunes?
Right. Well, that was part of, you know, the.
And they may have been, that may be what data's in here.
But there was no
I
shock.
I think
was
so,
no,
though. I
well,
think
looking at it, it's too vague. That's not in there.
Yeah, no. I mean, but we there is some very specific
right.
traffic count.
Is it ATM or Stantec?
It might have been Stantec.
Stantec, I think.
That did what? Our traffic?
Yeah.
Yeah,
was that
Stantec?
Yeah,
Stantec.
But again, I remember that data. There was no shocking information, mm-hmm. nothing out like, oh, no eurekas.
No, but it's mm-hmm. probably something that should be documented. Or
well, you've either got to take out the
plan.
Specific information that's in here that is old, or you've
yeah.
either take it out altogether, or you've got to put the
or you update
at least
yeah.
more updated data, in my opinion.
The traffic patterns are heavy at 5 p.m. While it makes common sense, it actually is a documented, calculated event.
Yep.
But it was heavier on the 4th of July, too.
Yeah.
Liberty.
But you didn't know that.
But, I mean, I still, if you were a business wanting to invest on the island and you picked up the comprehensive plan as, you know, do I want to do this? You'd have some better information than just yeah. the hearsay.
Well,
that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Who else? So, CAB or somebody does a lot of tourist information. I mean, that might be also something that we want to get. Do they do it for the Olive Bombs? Do they track our visitors and stuff?
Yes. Yes. The College of Charleston Office of Tourism works with the
Visitors Bureau, Charleston
Visitors
Area
Bureau.
Visitors Bureau.
And they do, they have.
Let's get our $500,000 worth from them.
Yeah. It's yeah. free information. We can get it from, he's talking about, I forgot the girl's name now, but yeah. she's been there forever. And her little group does a lot of visitor statistical information. And it is part of, we do pay for it indirectly, so, or maybe directly we pay
yeah,
for it.
Because
we pay for it for the, for it. We help finance CAB, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah,
sure
so
do.
We
Big
pay
one.
For it. So we might as well get them to do it.
Pass
her
it
name
on.
Leslie something. Leslie Warner.
We have a representative on that board, don't we?
Yes, I don't know who it is right now.
Who's the
Susan? I think
Susan.
Susan,
yes.
Susan probably is.
We can ask Susan to get it for us.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Okay. Do we need a motion for this, or we?
So as I understand it, we're going to do this again next month. Is that right?
For you,
yes.
Or
yes.
Right.
But we're going to be prepared.
I'll read it. We're going to have Bill's level of comments. Bill was the got the gold star.
See that?
Well, he did it.
But you did, didn't he?
He did it smart because he highlighted. See, I wrote all mine out, and I could probably
yeah.
read it.
And if you would, if you send me your, yeah, send. You they don't have your email, do they?
No.
Glad
they
smart.
Send it to him.
Send
whatever.
It to me,
it's,
and
it's
I'll forward it,
yeah.
it to
I'm in the
Nicole.
Forward it on. Okay.
And then I'll compile whatever I do get.
Great.
All right.
I mean, I think it's likely we're going to, a lot of us will come up with the same thing, so that's
yeah.
a
oh, sure.
way to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Oh, one quick thing, just going back, I'm sorry, I missed a question. First reading of the rental, farm rental recommendations. Is first reading just the reading, or is it also
yes.
nothing else?
You know, they typically don't discuss a first reading. They have occasionally. But typically it's just by title.
So it's just
occasionally, yeah.
Okay.
They pass it at first reading. There have been things that, you know, I guess they suspend the rules of order and discuss it and deal with it, but they typically don't. I'd be surprised if they do.
Okay. G. Right. Oh, wait, yeah, G.
Yeah, I think we've talked about the strategic plan. I don't have anything really else to add on that other than, well, I think it'll be a neat project if they choose to do it. And,
as long as they stick with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, you know, and when kind of drilling down with the folks that would do it, like, what do you see? What are the failures you see? And it's always just, it doesn't get adhered to, or there's not buy-in to it. You know, a handful of people were passionate about it, but then the majority kind of let it go, and they're not fully committed to it. So it potentially has its pitfalls, but they seem, from my just observing the council, they all seem to be latched onto this idea of a strategic plan, because I think that they, each of them sees it as the key to their own personal kind of interests getting funded. So I think they're going to be very active in it. I think it'll be good. Now, 10 years from now, maybe.
No, the problem is the council rotates every 2 years, right? And then you get a different agenda and direction.
This actually may be helpful for that, though. And it's certainly as long as they link it to the comprehensive plan.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's part of, you know.
It's that continuity.
Yeah. Kind of have to get things done in short order, or it's hard to ever get it done.
Yeah. I think those people are coming to the council meeting. Or it's either going to be council or ways and means. One of those, they're going to kind of give a, I think they're going to give a high-level overview. And one of the things they talked about that you guys might be interested in was that they would, they had these, like, they talked about having little icons or something that would run through the strategic plan as well as the comp plan, so that you could see this connection, you know, that they'd give a little asterisk for something, and they'd give that same asterisk every year in both plans, so you could see
kind of bounce back and
forth. And it would
also
be in the budget. Like, they would have those same little emojis.
Yep. So
you kind
of tie it's funded or not. That'd be great.
That would be very great.
Yeah, they were at one of the committees. Was that personnel?
I think so.
Personnel, they kind of gave their proposal, and they'll be continuing on getting it into the budget.
Okay.
All right, drainage. You ready? So the staff met with Thomas and Hutton yesterday on drainage. They have a handful of things that they're working on. First is what I call the smaller kind of impactful projects, that the goal was to get those complete this fiscal year. They have told us that and these are all away from the outfall, kind of well inland. They've told us that part of that project was getting the Corps of Engineers to give their jurisdictional determination. And the Corps, I think they were a little bit surprised to learn that the Corps of Engineers is claiming jurisdiction in the ditch on 41st all the way up to where it comes out to Forest Trail, where Forest Trail comes into Forest Trail.
Wow.
So they weren't overly concerned about the permit itself, being given that permit, but they had definitely anticipated a very quick, basically they didn't account for much time for environmental permits, because we told them we wanted it to be quick and doable and done this year. So I think they're kind of foreshadowing that the expectation was the end of July, those would be underway, would be basically done with those. I think they're telling us that schedule may be optimistic, given that it needs to get an Army Corps of Engineer permit.
And that impacts how many projects?
There are three projects going up 41st Avenue.
So three of the five.
Three of the five are impacted by it. We did talk about the possibility of potentially carving those three out and kind of going full speed ahead with two, but there could be mobilization costs that it's counterproductive to do that. So they were going to really try to push hard with the Army Corps to get it turned around as quickly as possible. They said that if everything went perfectly, they could get it turned around in like 45 days, which would allow them to do it, get it done, or at least get it underway before July. But
45 days doesn't actually seem like a long time for that.
No, they said, you know, that's like if it's total rubber stamp and they don't do anything really. But typically it goes smaller. So that's on the small projects. The big outfall project, the Terracon is the subcontractor. It's the environmental subcontractor under Thomas and Hutton, has given us their estimate of mitigation cost for the, and this really is specific to the 41st Avenue ditch. Mm. If you recall, the plan there is to move the flood control device all the way out to the intercoastal waterway, so we would be stopping the water from coming into that ditch adjacent to the marina. Their initial estimate was just under $200,000 of mitigation expense for that project, which was a little bit surprising to me. But Terracon is telling us that they would have to, they're disturbing roughly a third of an acre, and to just stroke a check and buy the credits for that third of an acre would amount to $200,000. The other option would be to offset that third of an acre that you're disturbing by basically taking highland and converting a third of an acre to highland to marsh. If you do that, the requirement to mitigate goes away. We talked a little bit about, you know, what projects could be done. Could something at the golf course happen? Is there city-owned property that we could, you know, kind of, because it's not a huge amount of area, but it would be nice to not have to pay that $200,000. Mm-hmm. So we've expanded their scope a bit to do the analysis of what projects could be done to basically take away the need to mitigate the marsh war impact. So that's not a time adding thing, but that's kind of an issue that's
where out does there. That $200,000 go again? Who gets that?
We buy, so they keep this bank.
They being
OCRM.
OCRM.
So OCRM gets this money.
Yes. They're taking that money to create habitat throughout the state. These spoils, you know, they're creating new areas that would be new habitat. So theoretically, they're taking that money and converting, keeping the state's wetlands at balance.
Because they're claiming that's their land. That's their property.
They're not claiming they own it. They're claiming that they have control.
Purview over it.
They have purview. They are obligated by the state law to protect the wetlands.
So that's Beach Company did. Didn't have to do all this stuff, did they?
They do now, but they did not for many, many years.
You get the bulldozer out there.
Still survey points out
fixed
there.
Fixed it.
Yeah, but otherwise, that they said those they are they're working through that project, and it's continuing on as Rick alluded to. The big step in that project's critical path is the funding, which will be the source of debate tomorrow night's council meeting. We have a budget workshop, I think that there will be the need to borrow the money to do that, which I think they delayed last year because they knew they wouldn't get into a position to be able to do it this year, which they were correct, it wouldn't have been. So they're at that point. Got to borrow the money and somehow going to have to repay that money, and how that works out is what they're trying to wrestle with currently.
And nobody's suggesting a referendum for this expense?
I don't think so. I have not heard that. So those are the two projects that are underway. I can tell you that kind of there are two other drainage-related issues that are being bantered around. One is this idea that, and the Planning Commission was, this was kind of in your wheelhouse when it was talked about, but we got a proposal from Thomas and Hutton to do a master plan, an island-wide master plan of what, you know, what should be the next project, what are the deficiencies, where do we need to do what, and when should we do it. We also at that time, and basically at that time, it was the Planning Commission's recommendation that instead of spending that money now, let's spend that money on projects and get things done in this upcoming year. We're now to a point of, we're looking now 2 years out. After the outfall project is done this coming year, what would be the next project? Should it be, should we continue down the road of saying we will identify the weak link in the drainage chain and fix that in the coming year? Or would we be at a point now to get a kind of long-range capital improvement plan or basically a plan of attack for the rest of the remaining infrastructure? So we're at a bit of a kind of decision-making point on that point. What do we do after the outfall project? More smaller projects or an actual long-range plan, and we can we'll talk about that, I think, in future meetings. That's one thing that's a lingering question. The other thing that's out there is the there is in their budget for the upcoming year to repave the bike lane, the bike path on Waterway Boulevard.
Nice.
Cool.
Waterway Boulevard, you know, we have created basically a seal on this part of the island that was at this outfall, and this outfall. And in setting those, you know, part of what we did is we said, okay, the chosen level of protection is 5 feet. Because when you get above 5 feet, it doesn't do any good to have a higher check valve here because the water just runs around it. So we felt like we had an opportunity, if we're going to repave this path, that we had an opportunity to look at the idea of elevating that path to some amount higher than 5 feet so that we could get an additional, you know, foot or 2 feet of protection from these outfall projects. So, you know, if you're going to repave it, maybe you repave it and elevate it at the same time, kind of akin to, if you've read the City of Charleston, the Battery, mm-hmm. they're elevating the Battery up at the to kind of seal the edge. Kind of the same idea on obviously a much smaller level. We asked Thomas and Hutton to look at that, and conceptually it's kind of easy to conceptualize, but when you get down into the weeds of how that would work, you are, if you were to add that additional foot, you are impacting some houses' abilities to shed water into the roadway because you've now put a berm up. You've also impacted some of the Waterway Boulevard's ability to shed water into the wherever it was naturally going. So while the elevating the path itself is a fairly simple and easy to grasp thing, how the water that needs to go to its place, how that interchange happens obviously complicates it. So we asked them, you know, if for you to conceptually just look at that, analyze it, see what layer of protection we could get if we were to elevate it, how many houses, you know, would it be 2 feet more protection? Does that 2 feet equate to, you know, saving 200 houses in the event of a tropical storm? And they have given us a proposal to conceptualize that, analyze it, give us construction estimates. Their cost was $18,000 to do that work. And that's going to be, I think that also will be debated at council. You know, they already have the path at, I think, $250,000. They also have the outfall project at $3 million, all in the same. Would it be worth the expense to, while you're doing all this work and you have mobilized crews, to elevate this path to get a higher level?
How's that going to work with the cross? I mean, you're going to be riding on this path up here, and you're going to come to the road and go down and go back up on every one of the roads?
Every driveway.
Yeah. So why don't you make it into a bike lane instead of, I wouldn't even call that a bike path. That's a walking path. People on bikes do not use that.
Well, you can't. You get picked off with a limb.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, well, it's got roots underneath it. It's all bumpy. It goes up and down. You know, nobody riding a bike, they ride in the road, and then they're blocking traffic.
Well, that's why. I mean, that's the reason.
Can they expand it, you know, on either side, maybe a foot or 9 inches?
Connect it to the road?
You're saying kind of like what the rest of the bike, what I consider a bike lane, from wherever it starts here down to Breach Inlet, there is a bike lane.
Yeah, right? Attached to the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the road.
Right.
Yeah. That other one is useless. I think there's a bike path or bike lane. Nobody serious, and anybody who's serious on a bike is not using that.
Not that section.
That's a walking path.
Well, I think that, you know, I don't know the, I'm not in their mind, but I think that they feel like it's a well-utilized path, but it...
not for bikes.
But because of its condition, it has led to less and less usage, and, you know, the root damage, and it basically needs to get
rerun. You can't even run on it if it's dark, because you don't know where all the...
It's the trees. Yeah. So the trees are the
biggest
ride
problem. And walk in the road.
Some people even run in the road.
Yeah.
Just to avoid it.
Yeah.
Because it's dangerous.
It's been that way for a long time.
Well, that's the reason it's in the budget.
But shouldn't they put a bike lane? I mean, that's the problem with Palm. There's not a bike lane, and there's not a bike lane on waterways, so you're constantly having to go around bikes that are in the road.
Yeah, and there is a disconnect of, and there, you know, you get into these paths. There are the advocates that want basically family-friendly paths that are disconnect, that are detached, and you can have your kid on their little bike. And then there are those that want the attached lane that is more the serious cyclist.
Right.
But the two are basically different things. It's kind of like the pool. You got the Olympic swimmers, and then you got the kids wanting mm-hmm. to splash. You have competing interests with those paths. And I think that the kind of thought was the serious cyclists are in the road, whether you have that path or not. They're going to be in the road with traffic, going basically the speed of traffic on that road.
It's in the comprehensive plan too. Talks about adding yep. that at some point.
A bike lane,
yes,
or
about adding a bike lane.
Yeah,
I think it makes sense, because you're constantly, if you're driving down a waterway, having to, you know, go around bikes. It creates, I think, a traffic hazard.
Our problem.
Is Waterway City owned, or is that
state?
It's state.
Yeah.
So it'd be up to them to do this.
Well, we could do it. We would. We would.
But have you'd
to
have
go
to take the road over.
Well, yeah, or you could at least get. You'd have to get permission. The county's repaving program, the 1% repaving. There, it's in their standard that every time it's feasible that they add bike paths. That as they're repaving roads, when they show up with their paving equipment, if it's feasible, they will add
How much is it? Like, is it
how's the county
foot
involved
now?
In this?
It's that 1%. So there was a referendum on that additional 1%, and it's specifically to resurface roads on a, you know, for ever. Roads never got
so they would pay
on.
To resurface waterway and include a bike lane.
Well, they just did resurface waterway.
Yeah, that's why all the roads here get paved and pretty, you know.
What about
water.
Palm? Have they ever
it's
considered
just resurfaced?
Well, no, I mean, have
last
they ever considered
they
adding
go.
A bike lane?
So Palm has its. It also has its because we have always wanted a bike path on Palm, but and I think it's conflict with the.
Parking,
pedestrian traffic, beach traffic,
yeah.
And then it wasn't, you know, it was seen kind of in the same light of adding bike lanes to King Street downtown that you wouldn't really want. You've got too much interference, too much congestion already, and that really the appropriate path would be, if you're going to do a loop on a bike, you should really be on the back, yeah, the back loop anyway.
You know, that's what I would advocate, to put a bike lane down Waterway, and you know, you could still have a path and call it a bike path or a walking path, but you're right, every driveway you come to, it's like a dip, and then there's some that go around a tree, and you know, it's like
these
it's windy.
Stumps that you're going
it's,
over.
It's
that's
character.
Roots.
Character.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Character.
Right. Call that character.
The challenge.
It's okay in most parts, but it is dangerous because of the low-lying limbs
and the roots.
Well,
yeah,
that
roots.
All is planned to get fixed this year.
Yeah, I saw it marked.
That's just somebody tripped and got hurt.
Oh, okay.
But so that's to highlight the hazards.
Is that a lawsuit for the city?
Okay.
All right.
So that's under
the problem solved.
Sorry.
Sure went down that rabbit hole. Let's go to another one.
All right. Update with water and sewer.
Yep.
So we did, the staff met with members of the staff, with the Water and Sewer Commission staff and their chairman on, and basically they are very interested, and they have been very interested in getting on a city council agenda to get a bond, get approval of borrowing money to expand their system. So they started this last year, and then they kind of stalled it. There was some friction, I guess would be the best term. But they're now wanting to pursue that effort again, so we talked a little bit about what their path forward would be in getting onto a council agenda to make that request of.
Is this to expand their system to move the stuff in Wild Dunes over to Forest Drive?
So they're asking, the bond would be for $16 million.
Mm.
14 of it.
What a deal.
Is to, they have the aging, whatever it is, 30, 40 year old system on Wild Dunes that they have to replace. It's steel walled, it's failing, they're spending more on repairing it than they can, and it's just getting worse. So they have to replace that system, the Wild Dune system. That's 14 of the 16. There is an additional 2 in there to basically build a shell that would be used as kind of auxiliary space in the meantime, but the purpose of that shell would be to house the future membranes that would allow for the sewer system to be expanded to take in all of the properties on the island.
Another 1,400 properties.
Yes, that shell would be there for that purpose, but then you have to, as they come on, you have to buy the, they call them cassettes, cassette of membrane that gets put in the shell and then it starts. So there would be additional expense as the additional properties came online, but you would at least have the shell done and ready to do that. So, you know, we kind of talk till we're red in the face about we get that and we like that, but what can we do at this point what triggers can we put in place to get things going? What would it take to get things going in terms of expanding the sewer line? And it is always met with a manual tie-in requirement. The only way that we can do it is for council to enact an ordinance that requires every person to tie on in a very short time window. You know, and then they start going into, but we could finance it for long term, we could do this. And where this group has always felt like that will always be the death knell of that proposal, that's kind of always their position. So it was a productive meeting. They will be, and I think they're going to be going through committees of council, starting with Public Works, to just, you know, talk to them about the project. And really, I mean, they're now to a point where they're basically just saying that we don't have any alternative. We kind of like the public safety building. We have to build a new system. We can't continue to kind of band-aid the existing Wild Dunes treatment facility. They're going to take the council members down there to show them the facility firsthand.
Good.
So they're...
But the island's going to be taxed for replacing the Wild Dunes system.
A big part of what they're doing is the rate study in terms of what happens. So if your question is, will the rates be increased to pay for that? I would suspect that they probably will. It wouldn't, you know, won't be a tax. It'll be a rate increase. They do, you know, they haven't kind of come forward with it yet. But talking about the marina debt, they do have debt that gets retired, and they're planning this debt payment to pick up at the same time that payment retires. So I think that they're visualizing, you know, a fairly flat rate, but see, I don't know that one has ever, any project, big project, has happened without a slight, at least a slight rate.
The rate would be for water and sewer?
I don't know. I think that
they couldn't separate the two?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think they're following what they've previously told us, it would be just sewer, but
they couldn't bill water for sewer improvements. That there had to be a sewer bill.
Isn't your sewer bill just twice your water bill?
No, it's based on the water bill.
Based on it.
It's more than twice.
Yeah, it's more than twice. Used to be twice.
I don't have one.
And then that, so I don't know. I actually don't know the answer to that. If it would, but you know, the rate consultants, they study their whole operation, and then I think that they say, well, you need to bump this up to cover your water, and you need to bump this up to cover your... So I think they're always both kind of bumped up a bit.
Okay.
So that'll be moving through council. Short-term rental recommendations, we've done that.
Yay. Anything else?
The only other thing I have is personnel committee meets tomorrow. And they have narrowed it down. They've narrowed their...
Thursday?
Next Thursday. Tomorrow's budget workshop. Tomorrow's only the 12th.
The following Thursday. Next Thursday. Yes, I'm sorry. A week from tomorrow. They're down to three candidates. And you might know... Are they going to make a recommendation at that?
Their plan is to make a recommendation to council.
At that meeting?
They're... From that meeting,
From
that meeting, they will make a recommendation.
Have they announced who the three candidates are?
I have. If you give me a minute to roll through this, I'm not sure if I have it or not.
Do you know if any of them are from Wild Dunes?
Wild Dunes, yeah. Good question.
Sure. Nice to have somebody that attends every single meeting.
Yeah, really. There was one meeting where I didn't have paper, so I can't remember if it was that one or not. And I had notes were separate, so.
Rick, I mean, the mayor kind of told you that they were having a very... I think that they didn't have any candidates.
Right.
They that they couldn't get anybody.
I have three. Scott Pierce, Chris Marquez, and Marty Brown.
But you don't know where they reside.
I do. Sir. None of them. Marquez is Wild Dunes.
Really?
Building. building a house in London.
Good.
But he's a resident already?
Resident already, and I think his current house is in Wild Dunes.
Hmm. That would be good.
That's all I have.
Anybody make a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So, Lewis, you sold your house.